based on what we'd seen from Katrina, the people who were at the Superdome, based on the race and the class, it was basically issues of poverty. And we wanted to keep an ongoing dialogue, and that's the purpose of the, not only to give the Katrina survivors a voice, but also to keep an ongoing dialogue.
Well, we're hearing a lot of these voices of the people who are still in Louisiana or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast, but not very many people who are displaced, who have not been home in a year, who don't figure to go home anytime soon because they can't, because they don't have the resources. So what kind of voices are you hearing here in Birmingham?
Well, the voices we're hearing here in Birmingham are from some people who have decided to stay here in this area and others who really want to go back. You know, they've come here and they are in desperate situations. You know, they're relying on what little assistance they get from FEMA. Some of the children have issues here, too, because the children really need counseling. It's one of the what we heard from several of our interviewees or survivors is that it's toughest on the children.
Well, Connie Lamont and George Thompson are with us as well. And Connie is with the Birmingham Friends Meeting, the Quaker organization here in Birmingham, and George Thompson with Greater Birmingham Ministries. And you guys have obviously a connection to this listening project as well. Here we are a year after Katrina, after all of the devastation along the Gulf Coast, and many people who were in New Orleans and in New Orleans for days following the event had to make their way out of New Orleans or the Mississippi Gulf Coast, mainly New Orleans, though, because this is a poverty thing, right? Many of these neighborhoods in New Orleans that were flooded are the neighborhoods of people who could least afford it, correct, Connie?
Yes, that is true, although not 100% true.
There are exceptions.
There are exceptions. But the people who were least able to handle the trauma of Katrina were definitely the poor. And there are specific reasons for why it was especially destructive to them. For one thing, Katrina occurred on the 29th of August, the end of the month. So for people with limited income, they had very little resources available to finance a trip out. A second reason is that New Orleans has a very fine public transportation system, so that people were told to evacuate and then to evacuate on a mandatory basis, but they didn't have a car because they didn't need one. Even so many that we talked to who left made the decision with great difficulty. They were leaving family members. They were told they had to choose between leaving a grandfather here or a father there or a mother somewhere else. One aspect of the leaving that we found, of course, the personal issue was always more important, most important, but people didn't want to leave their animals. And some of the happiest stories are when people got reunited with, of course, their family members and friends, but also their animals.
And I guess, George Thompson, you know, when so many people did not know what kind of hurricane this was, because how many hurricanes had passed and had threatened to hit New Orleans and veered to the east or veered to the west? I mean, did you hear stories of people saying, I just didn't think it was coming?
Yeah, there were several that had survived and stayed during many other storms because, again, in those situations, they didn't have the ability to leave either. Again, whenever you are in poverty, the things that you have are all that you have. And I want to mention that it's not just objects. It's also that community, that network of friends, your neighbors, everybody looking out for each other. That was torn apart. And what people are craving is that sense of community. Families were scattered. Although we had cases of people that were very close pulling together and having a caravan of 50-some people to try to get to places. But again, we're talking about 50 people and very few cars, so they had very little room for any of their belongings. So people lost everything.
It's breaking up lives and history. I'd like to read a couple of sentences from an essay written by Janice Curry, who is living in Birmingham but wants to return to New Orleans. She was asked, why rebuild a dying city? Well, I say we are not all dying. Let's all rebuild from inside out, starting with us, then rebuilding our city. I am 57 years old, 57 years of friends, colleagues, and business acquaintances all gone. And it doesn't make sense to put it back together. I don't agree.
And you have so many people who say similar things.
Yes, we do. One of the most moving aspects of this project for me, and it's been humbling, is to hear the hope, the endurance, the stamina coming through from people who were treated less than human. As George mentioned, the destruction of material things is certainly one aspect, but when you are treated real live human beings with souls and hearts as something that could be thrown away or left to die or drown or rated as to whether you're worth it to care for is something that most of us have not had to experience. This is from a person who lost virtually everything, and here's what she said. This is Sable. She said, if you have any extra, just pass it on. And then another person said, I hope that we will learn that we are all neighbors.
Peter, first, I mean, where do you take this from here, this project, all these voices? I mean, here we are at the year anniversary of Katrina, but, you know, another year is going to pass and another and so on and so forth. I mean, what do you see in the future?
Well, we're hoping that the ongoing dialogue will help to resolve some of the issues of race and poverty. I think some of the biggest areas in this country, our biggest issues in this country are poverty and some of the racial issues. And we're hoping to just create that dialogue and keep that dialogue going. And
well, Peter, first, thank you for joining us today.
Well, we're very glad to be here, and we appreciate your having us.
Connie Lamont from the Birmingham Friends Meeting, the Quakers here in town, and George Thompson with Greater Birmingham Ministries. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Steve.